Lots more on the way on Kerry today, including a discussion of what the five greatest Irish players of all time are. Dr. Neil Christian Sharnick is Associate Professor of Theatre at Carter's College, Wisconsin. He'll be at the West End House School of Arts in Killarney from April to June, where he'll be giving an intensive course on the works of Samuel Beckett. Given the time of year it is, Tras Murphy caught up with him and asked him to choose what he thinks are the five greatest Irish plays of all time. Also asked about how a small town like Killarney has produced the likes of Michael Fassbender and Jesse Buckley.
All right, well, that's it's a very, very difficult list. And I think that the Irish people may not have quite the level of appreciation they should for how extraordinary the dramatic tradition is in Ireland and how their output has really shaped drama across the globe. To start at number five, I want to look to the most recent playwright on my list, Brian Friel. Here, probably globally, Dancing at Lunasa and the impact that that play has made, the success of the film, all of that, would put that on many people's lists. But my preference is the play Translations from Brian Friel's output. In fact, when I first received my my current position as a theater professor, I direct every year. Translations was the very first play that I chose to put on at my university. So that's number five on my list. Well, it's an absolutely beautiful play on the one hand. It is a love story on one hand between an English officer and an Irish woman set back during the days of Daniel O'Connell. These two characters run away from a dance and have an opportunity to be alone together for the first time, and they don't speak each other's language. She has no English, or very, very little, and he has no Irish. And yet in this scene, the audience hears them both in English. The play is written in English, but they are communicating and are able to transcend the language barrier in this scene in a way that's just really beautifully theatrically done. But the play is also largely about it's about some English cartographers who are traveling across the Irish landscape, translating places into English. And so it's about this colonial act and the damage that it's doing. So it's a powerful and important play that's also quite lovely.
Number four on your list, Neil?
Well, here we're going to talk about one that, as we've mentioned, is relevant, the Plough and the Stars by Sean O'Casey. When I asked around, knowing that I would be doing this, Juno and the Paycock was the more frequently named play, but the series of plays by Sean O'Casey dealing with the rising of Ireland and its move toward independency, set in 1916, and telling that story, I find The Plough and the Stars the most compelling, and am absolutely thrilled that I'm going to have the opportunity to see the production at the Abbey.
And it's extraordinary to think that at the time when it was first staged, back in 1926, it resulted in riots. It didn't represent the Ireland that the Free State wanted represented on stage.
And the fact that it is only a decade out from the events it's describing, it, of course, hit a chord with the audience. But I think you'll find that there's actually a theme that runs through Irish drama, the level of engagement by audiences with the works on stage, the number of times that Irish productions have brought about some level of protest. This won't be the only one on the list that incited riot.
Neil, then, what's your number three, in your opinion, the third greatest Irish play ever?
We're going to go to look at an Anglo-Irish play. We're going to move over to London, and I think we need to talk about Oscar Wilde. So here we're going to list The Importance of Being Earnest, which is a play that I've had the opportunity to perform in and be involved in another capacity, having played Jack Worthing myself. But this is, of course, one of the great literary works in the English language. It's funny, even the characters within the play sometimes struggle with the idea that someone might take them seriously, which is a theme that we'll return to. It is a manners comedy, right, which serves the function of lampooning the aristocracy. There are always those in power, and the ability and the power to laugh at, to make fun of, to satirize those who hold money, wealth, and power, that's no small thing. And Oscar Wilde did it possibly better than anyone.
Your number two choice, Neil.
Well, we're moving back to an Abbey playwright here with John Millington Synge. And I had a professor at Northwestern University in Chicago who, when he taught dramatic structure, dramatic literature, play analysis, and he would identify Riders to the Sea by Synge as the most perfectly crafted play. And I basically took a whole semester looking at why that was the most perfect play. And yet, that is not the one I'm going to include here. It has to be Playboy of the Western World.
Why is it so good?
Playboy of the Western World is one of those plays that you can look at that uses humor with a little bit more bite, I guess would be a way to identify it. I already mentioned there would be other plays on our list that brought about riots. This is another one of those. But the unflinching way that Synge wrote about the people of the Irish West in ways that they did not always appreciate, and that didn't align with the idealized form of an Irish nation that the people around the work of the Abbey were looking for, right? This is not a play that they were entirely prepared to support, because our hero in this play confesses to a murder and is celebrated for it by the people who think it's makes him the most exciting and thrilling person to have visited their village. And it is an absolutely rollicking and delightful comedy with, as I said, I guess bite is a way to describe it. I think you wouldn't have a playwright like Martin McDonagh today if you didn't first have a Donne Millington Synge.
And Neil, finally, your top choice, what you believe to be the greatest Irish play of all time.
All right. So the answer that I absolutely should give here is Waiting for Godot by Samuel Beckett. And I think based on the influence that it had, that is probably the most important play of the 20th century. But I do think that he surpassed it. I personally think he surpassed it in some important ways with his play Endgame. So I, which is a play I also have a particular fondness for. Just as a very quick anecdote, I performed in a university production at Northwestern in Chicago and was newly married at the time. And my wife got tickets for three performances in a row. And Beckett is notoriously a bit obscure sometimes, a bit difficult to understand. And my darling wife, Erin, came to the first performance and afterwards just said, that was great, Neil. And after the second performance said, I'm going to be honest with you. I did not love it the first time, but now I think I understand why you do. And after the third performance, could not stop talking about it, said it was the most brilliant play she'd ever seen. The problem is most people don't go see a Beckett play three times. So with that in mind, that's part of why I will be in Ireland in the months ahead teaching Samuel Beckett intensive, because I really want to share. I mean, I feel a great burden and blessing in being able to travel to Ireland and share my love of Samuel Beckett and his work at West End House.
And when will you be doing that at West End House, Neil?
I'll be teaching from April through June. It's a 10-week Samuel Beckett intensive course, and I'm very excited to do this in Ireland and share my love of Beckett and appreciation for and bring a little bit of hopefully a deeper understanding not only of what his plays are doing, but of the impact this extraordinary playwright has made across the globe. Bring some of that to Kerry at West End House.
And finally, Neil, it's rather extraordinary that a small town of like Killarney, which I think it's only a population around 14,000, Killarney, and yet it's produced two world-famous, world-class actors in Michael Fassbender, co-founder of the West End House School of Arts, right, that you're involved with, and also, of course, Jessie Buckley, who's nominated for an Oscar in the Best Actress category. It's quite astounding, isn't it?
It is astounding, and she should win, I would add, in my opinion. Yeah, it is extraordinary. And my connection to the school is something that came about actually through Donal Courtney, who was the late Donal Courtney, who was the founding director of West End House. Mm-hmm. I had connected with him through the Gaiety School of Acting when he was teaching there and had gotten to know him and started developing a project with him that after his passing, we continued the project, brought it to West End House. That gave me the opportunity to get to know Killarney and its people and to know the school and to really feel deeply that I'd like to see it succeed. So I reached out after him to Jess and now to Susan, to the directors, and said, well, how can I, you know, be of service to this school, which is doing, I think, such great work and is such an asset to Kerry and to Killarney. And yeah, I hope this isn't my only visit or my final visit.
Dr. Neil Christian Sharnick, Associate Professor of Theatre at Curtis College, Wisconsin, in Killarney for the next month or so, and is going to be working at the West End House School of Arts in Killarney.